Before we start, Milwaukee!
Oh, Milwaukee!
Are you ready?
There's the guitar riff playing in the background. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner and the commissioner
of the United States
of the Americas, and you're listening to the DWI podcast. Can't believe I didn't say that today. This is a different kind of intro, but joining me as always, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never, the inebriator in the era of awesome, if you will, it's DPP.
I could have just said, you know, ladies and gentlemen, podcast degenerates, welcome to episode 188 of the DWI podcast. And then there you go. Everybody would have known where we are and what we're doing and who we're with. And that's, of course, A$AP Mitchell, who's getting attacked by dogs as we speak.
His intro for you isn't as good as my intro for you.
He's eating nachos.
Okay, we'll have to get back to him later.
As we said,
we'll give you the applause anyway. Good job with them nachos, buddy.
As we said pre-podcast beginning, it's going to be a riveting podcast audio. Listening to you chomp your damn tortilla chips.
Smack them
one more for good measure.
There it is. Muy bueno.
There are crumbs everywhere.
So what's on those nachos then? You got cheese. Got some jalapenos on there.
Nope. I got the verde hot sauce. I got some cottage cheese. I got chicken. It's chicken nachos.
There you go.
Lettuce, some pico, and like some corn.
Sounds good.
Corn. All right. That's interesting.
I approve.
Why is that interesting? You judging me?
I think he is.
Always.
Bastard.
Why wouldn't I?
It's some elote.
Elote?
Some street corn.
Yeah, I can make up.
You wouldn't know. You're not culturally vibrant as I am.
You're a fastidio. See, I can make up words too.
Fellatio.
Well, that one's already in the dictionary. Ladies and gentlemen, now that you've been informed on what A$AP Mitchell is currently chomping on, EP, let's inform them what we're going to be talking about on the show this week.
Well, we're waiting.
Sheet!
And then hits keep on coming. Look at that, a new Big Show sheet intro there. Loving it. Well done, EP. Give yourself with the old Barry Horowitz pat on the back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this week we need to talk about what I just saw on a video that A$AP Mitchell sent to me over the weekend. We're going to get to that right away on this podcast. We're also going to get A$AP's thoughts on All Elite Wrestling since he wasn't with us last week. Talk about what he's looking forward to checking out with them and who he's looking forward to seeing possibly in an AEW ring. We have 3 topics from Raw, 2 topics from SmackDown, and a last call. We're going to get back to the NFL, and we're going to pick those big conference championship games for this Sunday. DPP, ring the bell. Good God, A$AP. I mean, that's what I thought when I seen this clip, man. Damn if you're not entertaining the fans out there at RCCW.
I kidnapped someone.
Well, that happened too. Okay, so you had let the, I, I was just saying that this is a very entertaining thing that you got going on, and every time you get the ring, I see you do something that's very entertaining, and you put it all on the line for the fans. But yes, to get back to the match, it was a last man standing match in which you lost, and you turned it into a kidnapping. Go.
Yeah, I kidnapped Maru. It was awesome. I put him into a little white van, and it drove off into the night. It was great. We added to the mysteries of lacrosse, you know, like how people just randomly disappear once they jump into the river. That's because they're dead.
So is,
I don't know if Maru is dead.
Are you hiding him in the bluffs? Definitely somewhere? Is.
I didn't do anything. I conveniently put him into a white van that may or may not have been driven by someone that I know. And that's all I know. So when people ask me what happened, I just say something happened. And that's all that needs to be said about that.
All right,
the best thing ever was like the little 7-year-old boy that was like, he just put him into a freaking van.
That's a pop right there. Well, before we get any further, and we'll get right back to it, tell everybody, I believe it's on your Facebook, that they can go to and watch the video of, the ending of the match and what all went down after the match, correct?
Of a legal kidnapping.
Oh, it's a wrestling, yeah. Wrestling kidnapping, yes.
Find me on Facebook, Aesop Mitchell, AESOP. Find me on Twitter at @the_fabled_1, all in words. And find me on Instagram at the Cream City Traveler. That's me.
I would think at this point you wouldn't want people to find you after a kidnapping. You know, you probably
didn't say they don't know.
You didn't say find Maru.
It was just convenient. It was a convenient kidnapping.
Okay. Well.
So you up? So the doors opened to go outside the arena there where you were, and you had no idea that there was going to be a white van sitting there with its trunk open.
I thought I was being very nice instead of throwing him onto the floor like the hard concrete or cement like floor of the parking lot. I threw him into a soft Dodge Caravan.
So, for all you know, they could have went for ice cream.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Was it his birthday, too? How could I don't you? Know. You kidnapped him on his birthday?
Well, that's how you take him to ice cream. I don't know.
Your Honor, it was an ice cream kidnapping. I'm seriously.
Exactly. Exactly. He's still making his child support payments, so we know he's alive.
Hey, you know that.
Someone's making his child support payments, so he's alive.
There you go. All right, you told me. So how are you feeling after the thumbtacks, by the way?
My back itches a lot.
How long does it take for that to stop
bleeding?
They're
all scabbed. It's all scabbed over in dried blood, so it hurts.
I mean, how long does that take to stop bleeding?
Not too long. You put a little bit of lotion on it, or you make someone else put some lotion on it because I got that type of pull.
So, who helped you take the thumbtacks out of your back after the match?
Everyone downstairs. There were a lot of thumbtacks that were enlodged in my posterior, and I could not reach most of them. So,
did you get a count?
What?
Did you get a count on how many were stuck in you?
I threw out 1,200 thumbtacks, and I want to say there was a good 70 stuck in my back.
That's fun. Any punctures in the feet from stepping on them?
No. Thank God, no. Thank God. Some in the ass, though.
You'd have to assume that might happen.
Wasn't my choice. No. I was going to throw him in there. So, but I still kidnapped. I mean, conveniently placed him into a Dodge Caravan.
Well, folks, if you're not paying attention to RCCW, you should be, at least for Aesop Mitchell's sake. He is one entertaining fellow out there. You said you had a busy weekend. I'm assuming you were in action elsewhere as well, in addition to?
Well, not with lacrosse. I actually worked a lot at the comedy club, Comedy Sports. So I did some remote shows. We did one for the O&A Bakery, the ones that make all the famous Wisconsin Kringles. So yeah. I got paid not only in cash, but also in Danish Kringles as well, which was freaking awesome.
Did you get to throw any Kringles in people's faces?
Well, I don't think they really care considering they make it every day. So they're happy when I just get to take some away from them. I'm sure half of their diet is like Danishes.
Place I used to work for, we handled their account and we'd all get a Kringle like the day.
Yeah.
The day before Christmas Eve. Yeah.
I got a cherry and a cinnamon one. I was special.
Like the cheesecake Kringle. DP favorite Kringle? Oh, waiting on.
No.
Favorite. No.
I don't eat Kringle. Sorry.
You bastard!
What a crank. What a Kringle crank.
If you see a white Dodge Caravan pull up to your house, probably put yourself in the trunk.
And see what's going on. Just don't put any Kringle in there. But I'm
promises. No promises.
All righty, so what's coming up on the schedule for you in the following weekends here?
ICW this Sunday, the 20th, at the La Pica Lounge. Next week, I'm back with RCCW. This time, not lacrosse. I'm in Winona at the... what the heck is it? Black Horse Bar and Grill. And then coming up, I have to look at my book. I got a lot of dates coming up for a lot of promotions. WPW, Zawa, ACW. It's going to be a wild time.
That's excellent. It's good to be busy. Are you going to be able to perform any comedy anytime soon, or was that probably the last time for a little while?
Oh, no. I got remote shows Friday, Saturday, and next Thursday. So I won't be in-house at all, but I will be around and about Wisconsin, so you might see me somewhere.
Well, busy man entertaining the people. We appreciate it. So one more time, just tell them where they can find all that information. Aesop Mitchell.
Aesop Mitchell, AESOP on Facebook. Also Twitter, the_fabled_1, all in words. And on Instagram, the Cream City Traveler. And go look up Comedy Sports Milwaukee, CSZMKE. Come see a show. It's one of the top places. I recommend one of the top places, things you do while you're in the Milwaukee area. It's something that you... haven't seen before. A lot of fun.
Love it. Love it. All right, let's change gears a little bit here. Woo! Oh, I just like that Ric Flair transitional sound right there. DP and I talked about All Elite Wrestling last week. Tell me what your excitement level is for All Elite Wrestling, who you may be excited to see come into All Elite Wrestling, and what you think about what they're doing as far as insurance for wrestlers, you know, better pay for the women, less travel, things of that nature as a brand.
Well, you know, All Elite is going to be something that we've never seen before. It's you know, really something run by wrestlers. You know, and we kind of got a small taste of that with what Cody Rhodes did last year. But now this is going to be a full-blown thing, and we're going to see, you know, how they treat it and how the networks are going to treat it too, because I think they one of their bigger funders is of TNT, right, or TBS, something like that. So
yeah, it's looking like it. They're hoping to go to Tuesday nights, and I know they've trademarked Tuesday Night Dynamite. So
yeah, so I mean, this is gonna be something different. I think, like, almost immediately, this puts them ahead of Ring of Honor as being the secondary wrestling promotion in the country. And that's That's wild to think. Because Ring of Honor has done such a great job. But, you know, Ring of Honor has never pushed itself to be a top dog contender. And I think this is something that separates All Elite from, you know, Ring of Honor, Impact, Lucha Underground, what have you.
Well, the other big link that they're making right now, too, is in the reason everybody thinks Kenny Omega is going to All Elite. And your thoughts on this is Ring of Honor is kind of getting left out in the cold because it sounds like New Japan's looking to look forward to working with All Elite more than Ring of Honor, especially since the guys that mainly have been working with them are doing All Elite.
Well, you know, New Japan is getting a huge, having a huge exodus of talent. And I, you know, we're not quite sure what that means. Who's going to go to WWE? Who's going to go to All Elite Wrestling? And maybe some go to like Ring of Honor, Impact. Who knows? But you know, we know that All Elite is making itself a contender. It's making itself a threat, and this is definitely making the WWE shake a little bit. Yeah, I think. This is cause for concern.
So we're talking about all these different people that might be going here and there. I mean, obviously when contracts are up, I'm sure they'll be looking at some of the WWE guys, but what do you think of, you know, that might be people that they're kind of eyeing that you think would go to, that would be willing to go to All Elite and help this startup?
The one that kind of intrigues me the most, I think, is Shane Strickland. Guy used to be one of the guys out of Lucha Underground known as Killshot. I've had the pleasure of meeting him on a couple of occasions. He is one of my favorite workers out there. I love watching him. I just love him for his entrance music coming off Shaka Khan. That right there is enough to like a lot. I think you're going to see a lot of guys come out of the Impact area, because in Impact Lucha Underground, because they did just release a fair amount of talent as well. I think another one that you could possibly see is Sami Callihan. I don't know what his contract situation is, but I have a feeling that him in All Elite would be a huge get. And he would thrive very well. I can't really speak too much to the WWE talent. You know, guys, the lower card guys that get released, they need to find their footing again. More often than not, they don't just leave and become top dogs. They kind of make small appearances. Then they make another small appearance sample sized in whichever company they lean into becoming. I think you could see some guys out of the European circuit. I would assume that they have a pretty good relationship. The guys running All Elite, so Cody, Young Bucks with like Will Ospreay. I don't know, again, his contract status, but I have a feeling that there is going to be a lot of hype coming out of there. It really is a grab bag. It's a mystery altogether because, you know, I don't really follow contracts like that. You know, notably we get a lot of those out of WWE elsewhere. You know, again, I don't hear too many. So you're going to see a lot of dudes that, they're going to be surprising once they do sign. And I don't know how hidden All Elite Wrestling is going to be because AEW could really keep that stuff under wraps until, it gets closer to showtime. Yeah, because they're going to sell out that first show, whether they show the entire card or not.
Well, wouldn't that be something smart to do as well? Keep it quiet on who's actually signing or going to sign and, you know, have closed door deals that you don't really reveal anything. That way you can kind of have a surprise every week for at least the first 5-6 weeks, right? You can slowly reveal your roster over a month and a half.
Well, look at who they gave just enough of a taste test on who's going to be part of the first show by their press conference. And I believe they pretty much gave their main event away with PAC and Hangman Page. That to me feels like that's going to be their main event, or at least their heavyweight title match. You know, the Young Bucks will be involved. You know, Cody Rhodes will be involved. You know, Chris Jericho will be involved. You know, that's a solid get right there. So, you know, whether they want to, I think they keep those guys' opponents hidden, and you know, and then even just some full matches hidden, because you know it's not going to be a 5-card show; it's going to be an event.
Yeah, that could definitely see that being probably 8 or 9 matches over 3 or 4 hours. So
it's this the same thing that All In was, and I bet you they do something like that too. Maybe a battle royal, just to kind of show, like, look who we have. Look at these guys.
So last thing, and I think this is perfect way to do this to end All Elite Wrestling talk before we move on to Raw and SmackDown. It's time for another edition right here, because I only want yes or no answers here, folks. There's going to be plenty to talk about here, or nothing to talk about it at all. But right now, it's time for another edition of.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Rumors are surfacing that All Elite Wrestling has reached out to CM Punk, whether or not it's to wrestle or to be a part of the broadcast team. Do you think we will see CM Punk in All Elite Wrestling? DP.
Yeah, brother.
Aesop Mitchell.
I don't have a sound drop.
That's why I'm the architect, brother.
You set me up to fail, damn it.
What would you like? Eh?
No! Yes!
No?
I don't know. Do that.
Sweet!
Do you have a why? Because that would be my answer.
I have a why? I have a who.
Why?
Who?
Who?
Who? Who? Who? Who? Who? Who? Who? Who?
Yep, that's my answer.
Yeah, that's been another edition of.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Let's slide it on over to the WWE.
Into my DM.
Yes, sir, we promised you a great day. Gorgeous, good, nice. Pretty
classy, the maker of champions.
Andre, the giant.
WrestleMania.
Everyone has a place.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is electric.
Who is the man?
You are fucking
ready.
The champ is here.
Let's start it off with Raw, because that's how the week began, Monday night. And on a moment of bliss with Paul Heyman, which was one of the weirdest things I've seen in a while, because that little weird dude from Heavy Machinery came out, and he had a couple of nice, interesting spots this week. That dude is fucking hilarious, in my opinion. Anyway, we were revealed, and I hope you both have seen them, the women's tag team titles. I thought they looked pretty good. What did you guys think aesthetically of the belts?
They were belts.
I can dig them.
Just another piece of metal in the already large scrapyard of WWE title.
Well, here's what I liked about them. It's the fact that there's one set of tag team titles for the women.
For how long?
Yeah, but maybe this leads to more things being combined. Why not make make the whole tag team division for both sides? Because they ain't doing shit on Raw.
They're going to leave those things forever. You honestly don't expect to see any type of change with those Raw tag belts until SmackDown's on Fox, I think. But that's a whole nother subject.
It's a great opportunity to have. I'm looking forward to that match. Women tags.
That's my next question.
Chamber.
That's my next question that you brought up right there. And DP, go ahead. What do you think of them using that as the way to give up the first winner of the titles. And from what I'm hearing is Sasha and Bayley, Tamina and Nia, Mandy and Sonya, the Iconics, possibly Trish and Lita, maybe hold Trish and Lita off for a WrestleMania match for those tag titles. But what are your thoughts on the use of Elimination Chamber there?
I like that. It's definitely something unique and different that they haven't done. They haven't done a tag team Elimination Chamber match yet. And it's a great spot to introduce those titles, and it's a great opportunity for the women to have that as the first match for a tag team ever. So it's great that they're doing that, and I think it's going to be really awesome. They're, you know, they seem to be lining it up for Bayley and Sasha to win these, since they've been the ones talking about it forever. But, you know, they could pull something out and have, you know, obviously they like to do that where they just have somebody else win it that you wouldn't expect, like having the Iconics win it or something. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun, ASAP.
I think it will be fun, because actually I thought that match was that last year that they did the tag team titles in the Elimination Chamber.
I thought they didn't do it before.
I believe they did, because it seems I remember them doing it with the Usos, unless I'm wrong. But I think without a shadow of a doubt this goes to someone on the Raw brand. I don't see them giving them to the SmackDown team, regardless of if they deserve it or not.
Iconics,
Iconics could, need it?
They could be the only way to get them fully over, and you know they can talk.
Well, they certainly can't wrestle. They just jobbed out to Lynch and Asuka this past week on SmackDown. I think they're nothing. They are just another NXT call-up bust that has no weight behind them at all. I do think that it might be Jax and Tamina, because, you know, what's better than the baby face chasing the heels? And that creates a little bit of tension. But, you know, that's something that we need to wait to be seen. I don't think they'll put Trish or Lita in, because it was revealed that it's going to be three Raw teams, three SmackDown teams. And if you want to have Trish and Lita be a team SmackDown, my God, it's just wash, rinse, repeat again for them.
Well, I feel like they'll probably be in a match for them titles at WrestleMania, just to boost the card. You know how they like
that makes more sense than anything.
Let's move on to another title, the Intercontinental title. And my question, I posed this talking with Christopher Platt and Andrew Belez on Pod is War. Is this or is this not the most prestigious and biggest title win of Bobby Lashley's professional wrestling career? ASAP.
Sorry, I'm busy throwing up. Bobby Lashley being shoved down my throat. That aside, though,
this is the biggest deal. This is the biggest belt as far as a big deal is concerned that he's ever won, right? This means more than any other title he's held previously, correct?
The title itself means more, but I do feel that him winning the Impact belt had a bigger feel to it, if that makes any sense. I think him going over for the belt in a huge feud between Rollins and Ambrose, he was the third wheel of the bunch that just so happened to come out on top.
I don't you feel like they were just trying to get the Intercontinental belt away from that feud and let these guys go ahead and just, you know, they'll probably have a singles match at Elimination Chamber. I don't see them, you know, unless Rollins wins the Royal Rumble.
100%. 100%.
It could be for that spot at Mania at Elimination Chamber, right?
But that's also, to me, you know, like one of the big talking points after the match is Rollins and Ambrose didn't win it. Well, guess what? We're talking about Rollins, we're talking about Ambrose, and we're not talking about the Intercontinental belt. You know, that kind of becomes second fiddle to something that should be the top story.
So where do you go with that belt now? DP, what are your thoughts? Do you have a contender in mind? Who would you like to see Bobby Lashley face? I mean, I have somebody in my mind that should be returning soon.
Oh well, the first guy that comes to mind is Elias because they just got done with that feud and now there's a title involved, so they can go right back to it and have them feud again over the title. But I guess I don't have anybody in mind. I was kind of surprised that he won it, but I get it when you guys are talking about it because it frees up Ambrose and Rollins to both contend for the heavyweight title. I don't know. I got nobody in mind, but PC Tunney, I believe you do. So
that just popped into my head too. You know, they're talking about who's Brock going to drop the title to at Mania. Why not a triple threat between Rollins, Ambrose, and Lesnar? And that's how Lesnar actually loses because it's two other guys. Good way to keep him clean. My thought was maybe a returning Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn to feud with Bobby Lashley here moving into WrestleMania.
Oh, God. It arguably was one of the worst feuds of 2018 was Sami Zayn, Bobby Lashley. I'm just saying. They have changed up the narrative between the guys, so maybe, you know, things can be different. Personally, the first thing that came to mind was Elias as well. Though, you know, another thing that I could see is them giving a big sort of shot to one of the NXT guys that got called up. I don't know who exactly got brought up that is on Raw, but you know that could be something of note as well.
The problem with the call ups, I mean, maybe EC3, that would be an easy transition.
That'd be the only one.
They had some decent matches in Impact. So you know what? That makes a lot of sense.
But the problem here, let's talk about this. Lars Sullivan. What's going on there? Apparently he had a panic attack, and now the push that they were going to set up to have a program with him and Cena is no longer going on, or we just don't know about it yet, and they're waiting to see. I mean, am I missing anything? Have you heard anything about this Lars Sullivan situation?
I mean, some guys just can't cut it out being in front of those big crowds. And, you know, especially going up against John Cena Layfield. You know, it's,
ring of bell. I'm that just was saying, awesome.
Tell me that hair doesn't remind you of Bradshaw. That
first
hair
thing
is
I thought
ridiculous.
Of.
Bum, 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 ba-da-da, ba-da-da, bum. You can see me.
They really hyped up Lars Sullivan, and he was not working huge crowds. You know, maybe a takeover here and there against, you know, guys that he had the opportunity to really work with. For him to get Cena, who is kind of present, you know what I mean? That's a huge get, and some guys just can't handle that type of emotional moment. So, you know, they really pushed him hard, and this is now you know, potentially a bust on the NXT side that is for once not WWE's fault.
Well, hopefully we still get it, and I think we will. I imagine we'll see him come out at the Royal Rumble as one of the entrants when John Cena's in there or something, and he'll, you know, they'll do a standoff or whatever and see how the crowd reacts, and that'll be our kind of roll through it on the road to WrestleMania for Cena. That'll keep him around because I'm sure he'll be around the whole time now until WrestleMania is over.
JCL has a nice ring to it.
JCL.
John Cena Layfield. There you go. JBL and JCL. I like it. Ring the bell. Let's talk about another call up. And I feel like they haven't come.
Cena. You can see me.
That's excellent. Oh, I love it.
Never give up or back down.
Love it. It's a new classic created right here on the DWI podcast. Main author, Aesop Mitchell, right there. Wonderfully done.
Ha ha! Vince McMahon, I love it.
let's get Layfield back in here. Damn it, now I forgot where I was going, you fuckers.
God,
you're being way too entertaining. Yeah, I got nothing now. Let's slide it on to the last topic.
Into my DM.
I waited for you on that one. You're a little slow. And coming off of a surprise appearance at NXT UK Blackpool, which, by the way, folks, was phenomenal. I really enjoyed three of the matches. I thought that the women's match was a disappointment, and I don't like to come on and bag on the women or the men, but I got to tell it like it is. I thought Rhea Ripley and Toni Storm kind of disappointed. I think Rhea Ripley, the first time I actually seen her, has an amazing look, and she would totally get over on the main roster. But I feel like both of them, while they have the potential, still need to, you know, do a little bit more work in the ring. I thought the match was subpar. So you guys can let me know next week. I know you both plan on watching the special. I thought that the tag match was absolutely phenomenal, and that the championship match was solid, and Walter showing up at the end. I don't know if you guys have read the spoilers or not. Sorry, I just spoiled it for you guys.
Boo! Boo!
I'm sure Aesop knows. I don't know if DP read them or not yet, but
the categories. Boo!
God damn it!
But the big surprise of the weekend was the fact that Finn Balor showed up, and that's how I want to transition into what happened on Monday night. Finn Balor actually is going to be replacing Braun Strowman for the Universal title at the Royal Rumble. Now, I'm sure that anybody who knows Vince McMahon, has followed WWE, and knows anything about wrestling whatsoever is pretty darn sure that there's no way Finn Balor's going over here. I know that Brock Lesnar likes to be in matches with guys of this nature, such as Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, because he feels like he has his best matches with these kind of guys, and who doesn't? But Aesop, were you surprised that they decided to go with Finn Balor for this title? And does he have any chance at all to, you know, maybe the demon slays the beast?
Quickly backtracking, the Toni Storm Rhea Ripley match, I watched their initial contest for the titles, which was awesome. Don't forget, Toni Storm has a lot going on in her life with her leaked photos and videos. So, you know, they obviously had to do something about that, and I think that played a huge factor into that.
Having a good match?
Huh?
In her not having a good match?
Yeah, and
she won the title.
Being out of it.
Didn't she? Well, I'm pretty sure she did.
I thought Rhea Ripley won. I thought that's what I saw, but maybe I'm wrong.
Talking and I'll look it up, because I don't know why I can't remember.
I know Toni Storm went over on her initially on one of the episodes of NXT UK. I thought at TakeOver Rhea Ripley won, but
Toni Storm defeated Rhea Ripley for the title.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I thought. God damn it.
I am wrong. Well, that's fine. You know, the best people can admit that they're wrong at times, so I am wrong.
That's what losers say.
Assholes. Now, Finn Balor.
You're rarely wrong. I apologize. Continue.
Finn Balor getting the nod as like the next guy. I'm not surprised for that very reason that you said before. Brock Lesnar needs a guy that can be a workhorse, someone that can move around the ring, get thrown around easily, because Brock Lesnar is a piece of shit. So this is perfect for Brock to be Brock. And even though I will state my prediction as Finn Balor goes over, because I just want Brock Lesnar gone, we all know that will not happen.
Aesop, you're talking about Brock Lesnar!
No, I'm just talking about Brock Lesnar. Thank you.
Okay. I was just chugging. DP.
There is no enthusiasm in my statement of Brock Lesnar.
I understand. It's nothing like Brock Lesnar! DP, go ahead.
I tuned out halfway through that, so that way I have no clue what you said. Could you play that one more time?
I could.
Still completely unfazed. That was about as entertaining as a Brock Lesnar match.
Fickle! Fickle! DP, let's change the subject here. and Aesop, you know, chime in right after DP's thoughts. And where are we going with Braun Strowman now, fellas?
Oh, boy.
Because apparently Vince didn't want to lose to Brock Lesnar again. I don't know. Do you think he's ever going to get the title?
I don't know. I mean,
does he win the Rumble?
I think maybe he wins the Rumble. I mean, I don't know.
He might not be at the Rumble. I heard he hasn't even cleared to go yet.
And maybe that's part of it, you know. But I don't know. Does it seem like they're maybe? I can't figure out what they're doing with him, because it finally seemed like this was going to be the time they're going to give him the title and give him that push, and now they're taking it away again. And you know, I don't know where they're going with him. I don't know if they're just said, okay, why don't we just wait until WrestleMania, because that's what we need. Maybe they're hoping that Roman Reigns was going to be healthy at this point, maybe, and can be able to come back here into WrestleMania, you know, and make that the match instead. You know, I don't understand what they're doing with him. And you know, I'm maybe at this point I'm guessing it's going to be him versus Lesnar at WrestleMania instead for the title, and that's where they go. But I don't get it. I don't get what they're doing with him. He's a great act, but they just don't seem to want to pull the trigger on anything. So it's hard to tell where they're going to go.
Aesop, shed some light on this subject for us.
You know, it wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't for the fact that they're still continuing to show Braun on every week of Raw. You know, if we all know that he's hurt, we all know that he's injured, just keep him off television and use that as a building point for some type of title match. You know, the thing that kind of popped into my brain when it happened was when R-Truth and Carmella got their 30th entrance spots. You know, R-Truth at number 30, bing, bong, bing, bong, bing, bong, bing. Oh, shit. It's just R-Truth. No one gives a damn. Braun Strowman calls out. They pull Curtis Axel moment on him. Chucks R-Truth off the damn stage. He comes in Rex house. Everyone goes ape shit because it's Braun Strowman. You know what I mean? They leave him off television for what, a month and a half or 2 months, however you know long that was. And he gets well rested, and then he actually doesn't even have to appear until WrestleMania, so they could just continue to nurse him even more. It makes no sense. I don't know why he's on, Raw every freaking week, dumping some other automobile, because that's the only thing he's good for nowadays.
Did we enjoy the limo segment? I enjoyed it. It brought me back to the Attitude Era, where Steve Austin used to just destroy everything of Vince McMahon's.
But we've already seen it with Braun. We've seen it 100 times. He's done the ambulance.
I slow down every time to see what the accident looks like on the freeway.
I'm sorry. He shouldn't have been on TV at all.
Well, let me just backtrack a little bit. You brought up R-Truth and Carmella, and I'm so glad you did, because it's time for a dance break.
Why? It's time for a nacho break.
Oh, you talk about nacho break. Hey, DP, let's play What You Drinking and Eating. What You Eating and Drinking.
It's nacho segment.
Eat it in, man. Chomp it down, man.
I'm hungry.
Fuck you, I'm eating nachos.
Put chicken my nachos.
Yay.
Aesop, what you eating tonight?
Nachos.
Well, tell everybody what are on those nachos, because I'm not going to recut in what you told us before we started the podcast.
It's nachos. It's chicken nachos with cotija cheese and pico de gallo and corn. Elote corn. Some street corn.
And you got some hot sauce on there?
Huh?
You got some spicy sauce on there? Salsa?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Some verde sauce, so a nice green one. And in honor of Christopher Platt, I'm drinking an aloe vera drink.
There you go. Well, in honor of Christopher Platt, I'm having an IPA right now. It's not the IPA that I want to talk about, though. Folks, Hop Slam from Bell's Brewing Company is out. It is one of the most popular IPAs. It's a double. It's 10%. It comes in a little green case, and you can also get a mini keg of it. I picked up a couple six-packs today. I'm going to go back and get a mini keg tomorrow. It is by far one of the best IPAs you can have. It is out. Go get yours now while supplies last, as it is a seasonal IPA. Hop Slam from Bell's, baby. Go get yours.
DP. Can we get a what?
Why?
What? Yes! I didn't hear any of that.
Yes!
I didn't hear any of that.
What?
Did you hear me, DP?
I did.
That's all that matters.
Well, asshole.
Well, I just meant we're both recording, so if you can hear it, and I can hear it. You didn't hear what I said? It's a Hop Slam. It's an IPA beer. It's a seasonal one. It's very popular. You could almost call it Pop Slam. And yeah, that's what I was drinking. DP, it doesn't look like you're drinking tonight. I don't have to work tomorrow. Aesop is non-alcoholic aloe vera, and he's got nachos. He's playing what you're eating. What were you drinking on Saturday? We had quite the time Saturday. You were loose as a goose, having a blast, messing with the bartenders. We had a phenomenal time. What were you drinking on Saturday?
I was drinking what I always drink, and that's the old Captain and Coke. It was a fantastic night. First time I got to actually go out and drink since I've been sick with bronchitis since Christmas. So haven't really done any drinking since then, and it was nice to actually get out. Didn't have to drive, so I got to just relax and get nice and toasty.
Yeah, we were at the local Milwaukee bar, the Bosch. Shout out to the Bosch. Great food, great drinks, great bartenders. BJ was our bartender. I saw Dan on his way out, bartender. Jess came over and said hi, one of the servers/bartenders. So stop in over there. Great bar, great food, great drinks. Always good beers on tap and a nice stiff drink. I think that kind of rhymes a little bit. So that's another edition of What You Drinking. Before we slide it on over to the SmackDown side.
DMs!
There it is. The guy's on top of his gimmick here. I can appreciate that. Let's take a pause for that cause.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude.
Bit.
Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Speaking of TheChairShot.com, Aesop, I still have a untouched, unworn, unsoiled, brand new chair shot t-shirt for you in light blue, sky blue, if you will.
So yeah, it's been a year in the making. Yeah, DP that and thing.
I think DP and I are gonna have to discuss what's a good weekend for me to get off of work and us to drive out and have a good time out at RCCW. So
I got a better one that I will talk to you about after the show.
Understood. Yes, sir. All right. Well, maybe we'll talk about that next week or to come. It'll be the DWI road trip with Aesop Mitchell, possibly, or something of that nature. Maybe we'll do both. Well, maybe we'll do that. What you're going to tell us about, and we got to do an RCCW show. I've heard way too much about it and know way too many people that are out there actually doing their thing, as well as, to maybe possibly take the trip with you as well. So, I don't know. Where was I going with that?
Last call.
Go to SmackDown.
Oh, we're on SmackDown here, I think.
Oh, oof, I had
something else before that. No, I think SmackDown's going to be real quick here. Rey Mysterio and Andrade, they just called him Andrade. I don't know if you guys watch SmackDown or not, but it seems like that's what name he's going by. They had another phenomenal match. This one even better than the last one, and I know a lot of people are raving about it. It gave him a lot of time. DP, I know you watched the match. Your overall thoughts there?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was classic cruiserweight type of match. You know, very lot of mat wrestling, a lot of flips and stuff like that, and near falls and a lot of roll ups. And they did some pretty cool stuff. A couple things I've never seen before. Mysterio doing that
crucifix bomb.
That crucifix bomb, which was pretty cool. And I know they kind of did a few of the same moves they did the last time, and and they got called out on it by Corey Graves, but that's okay. You know, it's expected. And just overall, I mean, it was, I believe it went at least two, it went two segments, and it was just a phenomenal match. They had the crowd into it the whole time. Every time it was on, they were just into it, and they were, I, like, seriously nonstop. I mean, I don't know what happened during the commercial breaks, but when it was on television, it was, they were going, man, and they did some cool stuff, and I love it. I love the fact that Andrade, I guess they're calling him now, which kind of sucks. I wish they'd use his whole name, you know, but giving him kind of a big push there, that's a great win for him, and it's a great match and a great spot for him to show off what he can do.
Aesop, what's the best way they can use these guys? I mean, can Almas actually, can, I just want to call him La Sombra now, but can he actually be a main event player?
Well, he proved that down in NXT before they abruptly ended that run. And, you know, then he had to start anew on SmackDown. And look, he's proving again why WWE signed him in the first place. Because, I mean, remember when Cien Almas was first starting NXT and everyone thought, man, this guy's kind of a stinker? You know, the minute that he got Zelina Vega, he's become a hot commodity main event act. And I don't think it's changed so far with him being on the main roster. He just needs to keep riding what he's doing. And I think he's finally found some confidence in his matches. And, you know, obviously working a fellow luchador such as Rey Mysterio, which I would assume they have some type of chemistry in the past. You know, that really benefits him greatly.
Yeah, it's hard not to think that there's some kind of chemistry there between them that's resulted over the years. I love the match. I hope that, you know, he can continue to get the push. I know you mentioned Zelina Vega, and that's just another attribute, an asset that he can use in building his run here. What about Rey Mysterio? I mean, obviously he's there to make money. You know, I mean, that's why I feel he's there and to have great matches, but I don't see him ever really being in the title picture at all. Do you guys, maybe a one-off over the summer for a main event, something like that? But do you ever see him doing more than having really good matches and nice storylines to just kind of put guys over?
I mean, yeah. It's going to be the same old that we see with a lot of these older veterans. They get one last run. You know, eventually he'll get something, whether it be tag picture, mid-card belt. I don't think he gets another heavyweight or WWE belt run, but he'll get something, you know, before he, you know, hangs up his boots and walks into the sunset, never to be seen again over on special occasions.
What happened?
Sam Elliott just decided to come by, and I tried to channel my inner Sam Elliott. That I don't have a deep enough timbre to sound like him.
Are you watching The Range on Netflix there?
The Big Lebowski.
Oh, okay. There you go. All
right. Or Roadhouse. Yeah. Whatever one works better. Roadhouse.
He's also on a show called The Range on Netflix.
Isn't that the one with Ashton Kutcher?
Oh, yeah, The Ranch. Sorry, The Ranch. My bad. Right. Yes, it is. It's pretty good.
But it's Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, he plays a dumbass, so it's okay.
He plays the same Ashton Kutcher that he's always played.
Right, only they Ashton swear Kutcher. And they're on a ranch, because Hyde's on the show, too, from that 70s show.
Not anymore.
There you go. No, yeah, he's dead.
Asshat Kutcher. Gotcha. He's dead?
Not literally.
They had to write him off this season because of his personal incidents.
Allegations?
Yes.
I can't keep up with it all.
Yeah. Just assume everybody has some kind of allegation against them, and then you'll feel better.
Kevin Spacey!
Oh, Jesus, why?
So back to Rey Mysterio. I see...
Hold on, let's get Rey Mysterio in here. Woo! All right, go ahead.
So Rey Mysterio is just replacing Kane. Now that Kane's gone, he's replacing Kane. He's just going to be that guy that you can insert anywhere because he's that good. And yeah, you can give him a one-off pay-per-view title match if you need him to fill in a role. Otherwise, he's going to be in that just that mid-card level, helping guys get over, putting on great matches, and just, you know, just being there and being the veteran. That's kind of where I see him.
All right, but don't label him as the new Kane, because everyone like cringed the minute that they've heard that Kane was going to be in a match. I don't feel that way with Mysterio. Mysterio can still work.
Yeah, I agree with that. He works much better than Kane did, but Kane's character is still held true. Let me just give you my take on Mysterio before we move on to our last SmackDown topic. And I'd love to see him turn heel at some point just for himself. You know, like, this is my one last chance to do this, and I'm going to do whatever it takes. And he finally starts taking the shortcuts and this and that of that nature. And I think you could actually use him to get over a lull in the summer pay-per-view, maybe against a babyface champion, actually not win the title, but challenge for the title. Have a month-long program with him being a heel. Lead up to it with a couple of heel tactics. I don't know, Aesop, what do you think about that?
I can't even remember the last time Mysterio was a heel. Was that WCW Unmasked, like, Filthy Animals Mysterio? Was that the last time he was heel?
Probably, because everything he did with Eddie was heel.
Jesus Christ, that would be ridiculous.
I don't think they pull.
I'd like to see. Honestly, it might be the same sort of redundant thing that Raw is doing, but I'd like to see a tag team with Almas, sort of secondary Lucha House Party deal. It just makes sense in my eyes, you know, especially considering that Raw or Vince McMahon loves to wash, rinse, repeat ideas. So let's combine the Mexicans together.
Yeah, that'd be a good spot for him to do too, just because then it keeps him out of the, you know, any type of idea for a main event picture, and gives him another good possible good team in a world of crappy tag teams and not much. I don't know. I could see Almas being the next guy to go after Rusev, though. Rusev versus Almas for the U.S. title could be a lot of fun.
Oh, what about a WrestleMania match against the Mexicools? Both teams out on their fucking lawnmowers.
Yes. Super crazy.
Psychosis. Juventud doing coke in the back.
He's super. He's crazy. He's super crazy. No, but I was watching a... There you go. Para toda mi gente mexicana y todos mis
latinos, es hora de cambio. Mr. Mexicools, brother.
Fucking pimp your ride lawnmowers coming down the way.
See, now you want it even more.
I do. I want it a lot. I actually was watching some old WCW the other night, and it was a steel cage match for the Cruiserweight title between the aforementioned Rey Mysterio and the Juice, Juventud Guerrera, Billy Kidman defending, and that was a pretty damn good match.
Nice.
I think it was 98-99, right in there somewhere. So let's move on. Let's get our last topic in SmackDown. Let's talk about the chemistry between Shane O'Mac and The Miz, and I'm absolutely in love with this angle. I loved it from the beginning. Shane's actually kind of been on board and giving The Miz back to what he got in the beginning, putting him in a match impromptu, you know, Miz in street clothes, in the suit against Sheamus, ends up picking up the victory. Cesaro once again takes the food, spilled the food bump into the cake. How did you guys like that segment, and how overall do you feel about the chemistry with The Miz and Shane McMahon and the rest of the McMahons? Because he's had some time with Vince McMahon as well, Aesop.
Why are you going to come to me for this?
Dan.
DP. I've been so present every week, every time you have me on this show, about why the hell is Shane McMahon inserting himself into the main event picture.
Well, it's perfect because everybody knows my opinion on it. So why not, you know, as I ask a loaded question, why don't you knock it back down and DP can find the middle to bring us back home?
It's not perfect. Shane McMahon has no business being as much of a wrestler as he is.
He got brought back to be talent.
It does not matter. He should not be there.
But he's there.
Come on. He is wrestling more than Triple H. And Triple H has more reason to be a wrestler than he does.
Triple H's chest is barely attached to his fucking sternum right now.
It doesn't matter. Even before
it matters to him.
Even before the injury, Shane McMahon still had more matches than Triple H over the past year. Tell me I'm wrong.
What now? I'm sorry. I was making a lascivious comment.
I'm saying Triple H has had, even before Triple H's injury, Shane McMahon has had more matches than him over the past year. And that's ridiculous.
Right,
Shane McMahon
Hunter's
has no business being in the ring for as much as he does. He should be one-time match at a pay-per-view, and hopefully it's not WrestleMania because I don't want to see it.
I know Shane got brought back to be talent, right? He has nothing to do with anything else, but he's a talent. He shows up and he plays the role that he's supposed to play. Obviously, he has unlimited access to whatever and whoever's ear whenever he wants to put it out there, but he's not doing anything with any other angles most likely than his own.
He shouldn't be involved in any angles. He should be the GM, which is what he was doing great. He actually was providing a great job to the writing team as well. You do not have to be a part of the goddamn show. Not to the extent that he is. He should be show his face every once in a while. Maybe you can make a run in, get your ass beat for something that leads to a pay-per-view match. I don't want Shane McMahon in my fucking wrestling matches.
All I know is The Miz held the cake the wrong fucking way, because all he did was Shane McMahon stuck his shoes in the cake when he did the coast to coast.
Well,
that's all I know. He held the cake the wrong way.
More importantly,
it's supposed to go into Sheamus' face.
More importantly,
that's all the time he spends with that wife of his. She's got him all loopy and backwards.
Ugh.
More importantly, it looked like Shane really might have hurt himself there, although I haven't seen anything about landing on his hip or his bum there, his tailbone positive.
He can go away, for God's sakes.
All right. I know Aesop wants us to keep talking about this, but I think we're going to cut this short right here.
My God.
We'll just end it like this.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
DP, it's time for Last Call.
Last Call. Alcohol.
What do you mean it's Last Call?
Oh, what do you mean?
And last call for nachos.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, and come on.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
I think you'd rather have a dance break. So let's have a dance break. All right, let's get to our real topic.
One thing I will give to Shane McMahon, he does have my favorite entrance music of all time. Sorry.
There you go.
Are you not going to play it now?
No.
No, now that he's going to support it? It's not fun anymore.
All right, fine. Let's get the last call then.
Tell the bully to let go. Okay, fuck!
Gentlemen, we are down to the conference championships for the National Football League. Lord Football is closing in on the end of its season as we approach the bowl that is Super. Aesop Mitchell, you called the possible choke there by the Bears and Cody Parkey, didn't you, a couple weeks ago?
Bumbling, stumbling, rumbling.
I love it.
Cody Parkey can't kick a field goal. And I, even though I did get the game wrong, I did call the finish to that. I must say, if it came down to a field goal, Cody Parkey would choke. God damn it. I called it. And then immediately after it happened, Cody Parkey took his hot wife down to the Caribbean.
Yeah, that's what millionaire athletes do. Let's since and let me tell you, folks, if myself or DP or Aesop had amazing record coming into this week of playoffs over the past couple weeks of playoffs, we'd talk more about that. So let's talk about the games this weekend, then. We got the Rams at the Saints. The Saints are given 3.5. We got the Patriots at the Chiefs. The Chiefs are given 3. Home teams are the favorites. I want to talk about the AFC Championship game first. Tom Brady as an underdog. And it's kind of a dual matchup here in each conference of proven versus up and coming. You know, you got Brady versus Mahomes and Goff versus Breeze. Let's talk about Brady versus Mahomes, because let me tell you right now, that cold weather's coming in. It's going to be forecasted for a high of 6 degrees in Kansas City. EP, where are your thoughts going into this game? Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, the almighty Patriots, the team of teams since the millennium has changed, basically, and one of the best rookie quarterbacks, if not the best rookie quarterback of all time, Patrick Mahomes. Along with not too shabby Andy Reid as well, if I may say so.
Not too chubby? Is that what you said?
Shabby. No, he's chubby.
Oh. Oh, okay.
I love him, though. He's great. Cuckoo-ca-choo.
Yeah. Two veteran coaches right there. But again, like you said, the almighty Patriots, and it's hard to bet against them, like I said last week, until you actually lose a game. And this is going right the Patriots' way, I think, with the 6 degrees being super cold weather. If there's any snow or anything, I mean, that's going to slow down the Chiefs. They're a fast-paced team, very high offense. But, you know, it's going to be tough to stop the Patriots. You saw it last week. They just know how to game plan come the playoffs. So, for me, I cannot bet against the Patriots until they lose. So, I'll take them straight out with the win on this one. I don't know how you feel about this, Aesop.
If this was going to be a fair weather game, I actually probably would have put my money on the Chiefs. The Chiefs are dynamic. You have one of the hottest quarterbacks in the league in Pat Mahomes, good old frog voice himself. And but with this cold weather being as crazy as it is, fun fact, if it is going to be 6 degrees, that will be the coldest game the Patriots have ever played in. Yeah, fun fact, guys. The running attack of the Chiefs is not there. It's not what it was because of Kareem Hunt doing Kareem Hunt things. And I think that the Patriots are better suited to play in that weather.
So you guys are both taking the Patriots, huh?
Only if the weather is as bad as it sounds. If it's a fair weather game, I'm taking the Chiefs. But if it's the storm of the century type BS that they always bring up,
they're just calling for cold conditions. They're just calling for cold conditions. So if it's under 30 degrees, you got the Patriots then.
I don't know.
I'm going to put you down for the Patriots.
Just Patriots because, straight out.
Let me tell you something right here. Let's get a little Stephen A. Smith, little Max Kellerman here. The Kansas City Chiefs running game is just as good as it was with Damian Williams before when they had Kareem Hunt, because they're averaging the same amount of yards per carry. Not only he just torched them last week for 100 and some plus yards again. The Chiefs are well on their way to the Super Bowl, and in my opinion, they're the ones that are going to win the Super Bowl. Andy Reid is due. He has the team. They have the best tight end in the league. They have the most explosive offensive player in Tyreek Hill. And like I said, Damian Williams has not missed a beat in that backfield. Now, if he goes down, then we might see some problems. Spencer Ware is had a hamstring problem. Darrell Williams is not as good as Damian. So that's my opinion there. That defense has also showed signs of life and character. They've been a very plain and vanilla defense all year, and now they look good. I think Brady and Belichick will get outscored by Reed and Mahomes. That's my take on it. I'm going against you guys. I got the Chiefs. I'm writing it down right now. PC Chiefs. Deal with it.
PC Chiefs.
That's kind of that's a hypocritical statement, right? The PC Chiefs.
Well,
yeah, don't think that quite works.
Yeah, but Chiefs isn't derogatory. Chiefs, yeah. See, there you go. That would be an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Okay, let's slide it on over to the NFC conference.
Yeah,
there it is. I love it. I'm still popping forward every time. I think this is the more intriguing matchup to me. As much as I love Brady versus Mahomes, there, McVay and his Rams, who kind of have, like, I feel like even though they still ended up with, you know, the 2 seed, people feel like they fell off a little bit at the end of the year. I know they've had some injuries with Todd Gurley hasn't been 100%. Cooper Kupp is out, but Jared Goff has looked good. They still have them studs on defense who looked phenomenal last week. But they got to go down to New Orleans, and Drew Brees at home or in a dome, them boys can play. I believe the key to this game has to be taking away Michael Thomas. Wouldn't you guys agree?
My big takeaway is if Brees is back up to form. Brees was terrible last week. His throws looked bad. He did not look as crisp as he has been all year. I don't know if that means he's hurt. Personally, I think he was shaking off some rust. But I think the key to this game is how well Brees plays. Because if Brees plays the way he's been playing, guess what? It don't matter how good the Rams play, Brees will shut them down and the Saints go on to another Super Bowl. But if Brees plays the way that he did last week, well, sounds like Sean McVay is picking up that second playoff victory and heading towards the Super Bowl.
Well, let's hope that Rams defense figured out how to stop the Saints, because about 8 weeks ago, week 8 of the regular season, I think it was, they couldn't figure them out, and the Saints torched them, even though they couldn't stop the Rams on offense. But if you're going to give up 50 points to the Saints, I don't think you're going to win a game. And that's what we're going to have to figure out, is can the Rams defense figure out how to stop Brees? And I don't think that's going to happen. I like the Saints. Their offense is just way too powerful right now. And again, like you said, being at home in that dome, they are pretty tough to beat. And as long as they kicked off the rust that they had last week, I think they're going to be just fine, and we're going to see another shootout. I think we'll see a lot of points in this one, but I got the Saints. You got to stick with Brees and the veteran on this.
Aesop, are you just trying not to make any picks this week? Because you're pretty wishy-washy on the last one. You really didn't give me a pick on this one.
Neutral ground, baby.
All right, you Swiss bitch.
If Cody Parkey gets signed by the Rams,
then everyone's doomed. The world only has 12 years left anyways. We're all going to die if Cody Parkey gets signed to another contender. I'll pick the Saints only because that's my favorite team out there, even more so than the Packers. I know, but I'm going to take the Saints because I love me some Drew Brees.
Woo! Who dat? Who dat? Dad.
Terrible.
All right, folks, we're coming to the end of another edition of the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. You can find me on the Twitter at PC Tunney. You can find this show on the Twitter at Podcast DWI. You can find us at Greatest Tag Team Never. This show is always on iTunes and on thechairshot.com. So go to thechairshot.com. Use your head. DP, where can they find you?
They can find me all over the worldwide interwebs at It's Me DPP on Twitter, on Instagram. You can find this show as well on Facebook at facebook.com/DWI podcast.
There you go. One more time, Aesop Mitchell, for everything Aesop Mitchell. And go to Aesop's Facebook and watch the clip of him in a last man standing match with Maru that led to a kidnapping, allegedly.
Aesop Mitchell on Facebook, AESOP Mitchell. Also find me on Twitter at @fabled_fabled_1, all in words. And find me on Instagram. I'm at the Cream City Traveler. I post some things on my Twitter and Instagram, but I am ever present on my Facebook. Reach out, like the page, for the love of God. Just recently hit 600. I feel like I'm a damn stud, Muffin.
Deer's thin up there, eh?
Slide into my DMs, damn it.
Damn it, you sluts.
I think that's the next Chair Shot t-shirt.
I think that's the name of this podcast, sliding into Aesop's DMs.
Hey!
I don't know about that, dude.
Well, that's just like your opinion, man.
Well, that's like your opinion, man. My opinion is...
Sodas rule!
Yeah, they do.
Kenny Omega, fuck you, WWE!
Well, there's commentary for you.
There you go. Billy Kay can't wrestle.
Neither can Peyton Royce, really, but she looks a lot better.
The velvet undertones on those tights of hers. That's like maternal swimsuit Billy Kay wrestles in.
It's awful. It's kind of funny you brought them up because I equate them now to like the female version of Santino.
I bring them up to the female version of Billy and Chuck.
Oh, there you go. DP, you got that? You got that soundbite, don't you?
Oh, shit.
Come on. You can do it.
The female version of Billy and Chuck. You look so
good to me. And you've been listening to another edition of the podcast known as
D-W. DMs, bitch.